Okay, the Novi now brings down the Perek Yud Zayin that this new king, Melech Yisrael, he went in the ways of the Malachi Yisrael, which they were all a list of Oivdei Avodah Zarah, but he was a little better. So I'll read you the Lashon of the Pasuk. Pasuk says, Bishna shteim esrei lohochos melech Yehuda molach oisheya ben elo b'shaimwe. Vayasora b'nei Hashem. So he also was a bad king. He's listed together with the Malachi Yisrael, but rak loy k'malachi Yisrael asher hoyu lefanav. The only thing is, he wasn't as bad as the ones that were before him. He was there was something better about him. It doesn't say what was better. Something was better about him. So Chazal say, what was better about him? Chazal say as follows. It says, the pasuk, Rak loy k'malachi Yisrael asher hu yulefanav. Comes the Yalkut Shemayni. The Yalkut Shemayni says, in what way was he better? Hoshea was better. Debitel mishmorois. He was mevatel de mishmorois. Yerovim ben Nevat, he was the beginning of the disaster, right, of the Malachi Yisrael. Yerovim ben Nevat did two things. He stopped the Jews from going to be Oyle Regal based on English. He had a whole cheshbon why he didn't want them to go to be Oyle Regal. He made Iglei Zahav. He made gold caps. Right? Basically said, you don't have to go to the Beis HaMikdash. We have these gold caps. You could come and serve over there. And then he made orchards, pardeses. He made orchards like a resort. So like a whole program. Like you have today, Lahag LePesach program. So Yeravim ben Nevat made a whole resort program. So he made Iglei Zahav, and then he made a shtickle program with the orchards and this, and that's where people would stop and spend time in Fabrengsach instead of going to Be'el Regel Beis HaMikdash. The Iglei Zahav got taken away, and when it says that Hoshea was better than the kings before him, the Yalkut Shemayni says, Shebitel ha-mishmores. He was mevatel de mishmores. That's the lashon of the Yalkut. That he was mevatel de mishmores, meaning he closed down the resort. So now the Jews were able to be go to be Eil Regel. The lashon of Chazal is like this. Omar, he said, "Kol mi sheroitze lalo is yale. Anybody who wants can go up." He basically opened up the doors to go and be oil harega. So the obvious question is: so then, sounds great. So that's excellent. Why aren't we giving him more credit? The Novi basically says he also went in the bad ways. The only thing is, he wasn't as bad. Sounds like he totally tried to reverse the whole picture. He got rid of the Eglei Zahav were gotten rid of already, Golu. And he closed down the Mishmaris, he closed down the places where they would stop, where they would congregate and vacation, instead of going to the Beis HaMikdash. And he said, whoever wants to go to Be'el Regel, go Be'el Regel. Sounds very good. What was wrong? Del Yorabe, Del Yuzuta also talks about this. So then why is he frowned upon? Sounds like he did a good thing. So, the Dakustika thing. The Mepharshim explained that he should have told Klal Yisrael, you have to be Eil Regel. You have to go be Eil Regel. Instead, he made it like it's voluntary. He said, whoever wants to go can go. You want to go? Go. You call a right to Lalas, Yalin. So Biankiv Zatzal asked,
Why is it Hosea's business to tell people you have to be Eil Regel? It's a mitzvah. Hashem says you have to be Eil Regel. That's not his business. It's not the king's job. The king has to command them to be Eil Regel. It's not his job. The king said, if you want to go, go. There's no problem. You can go. So Yankov asked, why is it a taina on the king? If the king says you could wear tefillin, he has to tell you you have to wear tefillin. Divrei Av, Divrei HaTalmud, Divrei Mishaymim. What was missing in Hosea? Now don't forget, the Novi here is telling us he went in the bad ways. We're comparing him to the rest of Malachi Yisrael. Even though it sounds like he was almost perfect in this regard. That's what Yankov's cash. Why is it a taina on him that he didn't say go to B'Eil Regel? He said you could if you want. Do what you want. The Rebbe Hashem told you to go. So go. It's not my business. It's between you and the Rebbe Hashem. And even if there's a taina, how much of a taina is it? So I'll tell you like this. We learned earlier about one of the kings, Azaryahu, who became a Metzora. I don't know if the Olam remembers this. Several weeks ago. But he became a Metzora. The Pasuk says by Azaryahu, by Yinaga Hashem Es HaMelech, this is in Perek Tezvav, by Yi Metzora Adyoy Moisai, he was a Metzora, this is Uziyahu was a Metzora, by Yeshev Beveis HaChofshis, that's Chazal. So Chazal come and say, what does it mean Beveis HaChofshis? The Gemara says in Horius that he lost his kingdom. The Gemara says in Horius, Nosi Shenitstara Mitchilei Minasiyusa. The Gemara in Horius Davyud. If a king becomes a Metzora or a Nosi, he loses his position. And that's why it says, Vayeshev Beveis HaChofshi. He sat in the house of freedom, meaning he didn't have the kingdom anymore. He was off. He was retired. So everybody asks, right? What did he do to deserve that? Why did he lose the kingdom? Azaryahu. Pasuk doesn't say what he did. But if you look in Divrei Hayomim, it says what he did. It says in the pasuk like this: Perek Chavov, Divrei Hayomim. Bechezkosoi gova liboy vayovo yalech laHashem lahakter al mizbeach Hashem. Uziyahu came to the Beis Hamikdash and he wanted to be a kohen. The Gemara says in Maseches Sotah, kol hamizgoe, a person who's a baal gaiva, or he's noisen einov b'mashe einoy shaloi, somebody tries to get something that doesn't belong to him. Right? So, Masha Mevakesh ain't noisnim loy. What you want to get, you're not going to get. That's the Gemara in Saita Daf Tes. Umasha Yesh loy noitlim imen. So, in other words, the Gemara is saying if somebody looks for a leadership position that's not his, not only does he lose, does he not get what he wants, he loses what he has. What's pshat in that? So, that's what happened over here. Since the king was looking to get a position that didn't belong to him, kahuna, and kahuna didn't belong to him, trying to get kahuna, so not only did he lose the kahuna, but he lost the malchus also. And that's pshat in the Gemara and Soita, that somebody who tries to get something, so I always had a big cash out, very big cash. I have a beferish apostolic, not like that, in Sefer Shmos. In Sefer Shmos, if you remember when Hashem reveals himself to Moshe Rabbeinu, so it says, Hashem tells Moshe, Al tikrav haloim. You guys remember that pasuk? Al tikrav haloim. Hashem tells Moshe, don't come close. So Rashi brings on a chazal. Bikesh Moshe kuhuna. Moshe wanted to have the kuhuna as well. Moshe wanted to be the kohen. Hashem told him, no, that's not for you. That's for your brother Aaron. It's not for you. Al tikrav haloim. But Moshe became the Nasi, Klal Yisrael. Over there we don't find that Moshe Rabbeinu lost the kahuna, lost the malchus, because he was trying to get kahuna. So why over here does the Navi say, Vayinaga Hashem, Hashem made Azaryahu a Metzorah, and he lost the malchus, and it's based on the Gemara and Soita, that Kol HaNoisin Eilu B'Mashayinu Yishaloi, Loi died that he doesn't get what he wants, but they take what's coming to him. Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu get the same punishment? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't get that punishment. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted kuhuna also. He didn't get it. That's the difference. Pshat. Rabbi, I'm going to tell you Pasha Pshat. And this is what I'm telling you now is very important. It's something you should always think about throughout life. When you're over the Rabbanu Shel Olam, this is something very important to realize. Because if you don't realize this, you could miss everything. Very often, I have a kasha on people. I'm a kasha on people. I had once in my house, this goes back maybe 24 years ago or 23 years ago. Out in my house, I didn't talk. What was the Din Torah? The Din Torah was between two organizations that were in a fight over competing shiur. That means you have organization A, they had a shiur hotline that you could call in to hear a shiur. And then there was another organization that also started such a type of issue. And they felt that they're competing with each other. So the second organization that started was brought to the Torah by the first organization. That you have competing shear with mine. So I'm sitting in my house in the dining room. I have a representative from this organization, representative from that organization. Now, what do you think the shear were about? Take a guess. Marit, what do you think? You know what it was? Chofetz Chai. Yeah. We're going to get into a fight over Shiurim of the Chofetz Chaim. Is that a little wacky? You're talking about the Chofetz Chaim. You're talking about giving Shiurim on Avas Chesed and Shmuel's Halosh and all the beautiful things. Now I'm going to get into a fight with you about the Chofetz Chaim. Is that crazy? Borders insanity. What is insanity? And that's what I told both parties. The rabbi said, we're here for the Torah over Chofetz Chaim. So I told him over Marami Rattenberg. The Marami Rattenberg says, the Gemara says in Bava Basra, famous Gemara in Bava Basra, Chofalev, that you're allowed to open up one yeshiva next to another yeshiva, one base medrash next to another base medrash. I competition, right? If you have a fruit store, I can't open up a fruit store right next door if I'm going to drive you out of business, right? That's called Asogas Gvul. I'm not allowed to do it. So why could I open up a Beis Medrash right near you? I'm taking away your clients. No. I'm allowed to open up yeshiva. Somebody would want to move here onto Grandview Avenue, right? They want to buy the house next door and open up a Or Ruvain near East. Yeah? They're allowed to do it. They're allowed to do it. No problem. Mutil l'chatchila. They stay in the Gemara. The Gemara says, because the Gemara seems to say, because competition is good. They have competition. Makes everybody do better. Yeah? The Marami Rattenberg says a different pshat. Listen to the beautiful pshat, Marami Rattenberg. The Marami Rattenberg says, imagine I have a shoe store, okay? In my shoe store, I sell shoes for men, women, and children. I decide, you know, it's not so nice. The men, the women, they come together. Same time, it's hanging out. Not better than that. I'm going to make two stores. I'm going to make a man's store on this side of the street and women and children across the street, okay? So I get a manager to run the women and children's store across the street. And I manage my store over here. Yeah. Meanwhile, I look out the window. I see that my store across the street is doing very well. Mamish, there's more people going to the women's and children's store than to my own. Would I take the guy across the street to his entire? Huh? Why not? He's getting more customers than I am. Because it's my customers. If I would do that, I would be insane. Those are my customers. I'm very happy that there's a guy across the street that's doing better than me. Good, it's my store. I'm perfectly happy. If I have a wholesale business and I open up a retail business across the street and I see more customers going to the retail, the wholesale, I'm very happy. I make a yomtiv. Why? It's my people. It's two storefronts. This store says Radinsky, the other one says Friedman. What do I care? Friedman is Radinsky. It's the same bank account. I don't care what the name of the store is. Zoktim Arami Rattenberg. When somebody teaches Torah, who's he working for? Right? So if I have a Talmud over here in Or Ruvain West, and he thinks that if he goes next door to Or Ruvain East, he'll do better over there, and he goes there, good! That's not my competition. We're both working for the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. There's one boss. The great vote. We're not competing. When I became the Rav in the shul, by me, I was still a bacher. I just became a chos. I just got engaged. That's when I became the Rav. For Shteitzach, as a chosin, I couldn't always be in the shul every Shabbos. I had to go to my kala, to prave. So, I didn't come to the shul every week. Meanwhile, from the time that I got engaged till the time I got married, the shul lost a couple of members because the shul was still without a rov. They went to another shul. So a guy comes over to me a couple of weeks before I get married. He says, Rabbi, you don't know what you're doing to us. We lost a couple of members. I said, what? They died? We lost a couple of members. And the people in the Beis HaKfaras? No. They went to another shul. I said, so we didn't lose them. We didn't lose them. I don't know if that's what they wanted to hear. I said, we didn't lose them. They're davening somewhere else. If they feel over there, they could daven better. They Kivaldik. I'm not a Radinsky. He's not in business for Radinsky. Working for the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Person davens better by the guy across the street? Good. Better. If I could do better on this side of the street, fine, I'll do better. But that's a success for me. If I have a Talmud here sitting in, he's learning 100 plot a year, Gemara, and he could go to my competitor and learn 200 plot a year, Gemara, I gain by him going across the street. Why, I want him here? That the Rebbeinu Shel Olam up there is looking down and going, hey, Radinsky, you're holding the guy up from doing 200 plot Gemara. You're keeping him, you're being Mavakal 100 plot Gemara a year from him. That makes me happy. Alice is totally in the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. What does the Rebbeinu Shel Olam want from me? When Moshe Rabbeinu wanted kahuna, he didn't want kahuna because he wanted kahuna. He wanted to maximize what he could do for Hashem. Hashem, I want to do the kahuna for you too. Rebbeinu Shel Olam said, no. That's not what I want from you. That was the end of the story. That's why there was no tain on Moshe Rabbeinu. Uziyahu, he was a Yisrael. And he wants to do kahuna. That what does it mean? Who's he working for? He's working for himself. Sometimes, even when you're doing something for Hashem, you forget who you're working for. You become like that fool that wants to take the store across the street who's working for him to a dinta. Right? If you're looking at your Chofetz Chaim Shi, you want to bring Shalom to the world, you're not going to bring another Jew to the Torah because he's also giving Chofetz Chaim Shi. That's got to be pretty foolish. But you lose your sense of reality. I always say over the story, I don't know if the Olam here heard it, but I've said it over years ago. I was by a bar mitzvah after I got married. Somebody made a very fancy bar mitzvah. Such a fancy bar mitzvah. I never was by such a bar mitzvah in my life. Mom is gorgeous. It was a weekend bar mitzvah. It was gorgeous, in a resort, by the water. It was gewaltig. It was mamish unbelievable. People there weren't even interested in the bar mitzvah bar. He was there, so fine, we tolerated him. But it was a weekend, gewaldig. I still remember then, that was before the days where they had so much food, but we had a meal like, you don't know the meal. When you walked out of that room, you were rolling. You couldn't even stand on your feet. And then they had a Viennese room, not a Viennese table. They had another huge hall full of desserts. Nobody, I didn't even know how people could get the food in. People managed to get more food in. So by this affair, not only did everybody get their own challah cover, though every person got their own velvet challah cover with their name on it, embroidered on it. They had their name. Could you imagine? One guy, Nebuch, somebody made a mistake somewhere, he didn't have his challah cover. And believe it or not, this guy starts complaining, like you think you're here for a weekend. Whoever invited you is giving you a $3,000-$4,000 weekend. So just be quiet so you don't have your velvet challah cover. No. He goes to the waiter, he goes to this, he's making a whole tumma, where's my velvet cover? I looked at him like he fell off the roof. I would have given him mine, but mine said Radinsky. He wouldn't have been happy. He needed his name. Finally, he's not happy. He goes to the guy who's making the bar mitzvah. And he complains to him. He says, you know, I didn't get a... You really feel like the guy's going batty. But it's not the end. So the one who's making the bar mitzvah, he got very upset. Because somebody made a mistake. Why didn't he get his velvet cover? So he calls across the room to the maitre d', he's a frum guy, yeshiva guy, he calls across the room, hey, what are you messed up here? What's going on here? I know I had a challah cover for him. Where is it? Embarrassed, the guy's face is turning all colors. I went over to the guy, I said, you know why we have a challah cover? Maybe. He said, no. I said, well, I'll tell you why we have a challah cover. Because when we make kiddush on the wine, we don't want to embarrass the bread. You hear where I'm going, Rabbi? So we have a cover on the challah because we don't want to embarrass the bread. Not that there's a big avera to embarrass bread. If the only thing you do in life is you embarrass bread, you're in pretty good shape. That's the only avera you did in your lifetime, you embarrass some bread. So what do you do now? You're malbim pnei chaveirei barabim over the challah. Over the challah cover. What a crazy guy, right? The guy's not crazy. He wasn't a bad guy. Teretz says, you forget who you're working for. You forget who you're working for. If you remember who you're working for, you don't make such a mistake. You forget who you're working for, you make crazy mistakes. You could get into a fight about a Chofetz Chaim, Shir, and you could embarrass somebody publicly over the velvet challah cover that's supposed to cover the bread, so the bread shouldn't be embarrassed. That's how wacky you could be if you forget who you're working for. That's the insight. That's what the Gemara insight means. If somebody is working for Hashem, he knows whatever mission Hashem gave him, that's what Hashem wants from him. If he's already looking to get something that Hashem asked for somebody else, it means he doesn't realize who he's working for. He doesn't realize what he's working for, he doesn't even entitled to what he has. Mela, what he has also shouldn't count. What he has also shouldn't count. The king's mission, he's working for the Rabban Shalom. The king is not working for himself, he's working for the Rabban Shalom. So when Hoshea opened up the doors that the Jews should be able to be Eil Regel, right? If he was really working for the Rabbanu Shalom, he wouldn't have said, if you want, go. If you don't want to go, don't go. That means he was running a democracy. A democracy means he's not working for the Rabbanu Shalom. If he's not working for the Rabbanu Shalom, he's also put together with the other Malachi Yisrael. And this is something you have to always remember in life, who you're working for. Who you're working for. I always say, you know how many fights happen in shul? Between the boards and the presidents and this and the rabbis and this and this. But I'm just saying this goes on. Right? If you ever take a step back and you think, how could anybody have a fight in a shul? The Beis HaMikdash was chorev because of sin aschim. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of fights. right? So now you're going to get in a fight in a shul. What's a shul? A shul is a Beis HaMikdash katan. A shul is a mini Beis HaMikdash. So now you're going to get in a fight about a shul? Crazy, right? Retarded, what's going on here? The pshat is you forget who you work for. If you remember who you're working for, you don't fall into that. That's our job in life, to always remember we're working for the Rabbanu Shalom. If we always remember that, we're always going to make the right decision. That's what the Novi is teaching us. You always have to know who you're working for. The Malachi Yisrael didn't know who they were working for. Because they didn't know who they were working for, they were working for themselves. That doesn't work. And the Yisrael of the Yid has to know he's always working for the bunch. Yeah, I should go back.